PNG, or afternoon, or evening, it is wonderful to see you here. This is our first look, podcast 11, at the new edition or version of the BNG podcast. And by the way, before I even start this out, we are brought to you by the Pulse Podcast Network. We still have that sponsor up on the Jersey Express. Dope stuff. Maybe you forgot a gift for your little cousin or older cousin. Hey, buy yourself a cheap jersey. Give that to them. They will love it. I promise you that. Anyways, where we were going is this is the first edition of the new look BNG. Now, I know it isn't very different because we are still talking about NFL today. And today we are just going to wrap up the NFL events that happened in the NFL that we might have just forgot about because they were so long ago. I mean, what? 3 months ago now, almost. Week 16, so 4 months ago. Wow. Yeah, that's a long time, and I mean, we're just gonna take a look at like what happened through these weeks. Anyways, this is one of two football related podcasts that I will be dropping in the coming weeks. So this one this week, obviously you're listening. And then one more next week. And that one will be very NFL based. This one's kind of a little bit of fantasy football relevant. But the next one is absolutely just football based. Anyways, after that, I feel like we're going to have a very limited amount of like conversation topics that could get repetitive over, I don't know, how many ever podcasts you listen to. So we're just going to jump into new fields, see what the viewer or listener response is, see if you guys enjoy that. Check out my other podcast. I talk about that in the BNG Makeover podcast. Just all the subjects that we could be getting into. And I'll determine that whenever that happens. But anyways, this podcast, like I said, is just a reflection on what happened previously in the year of football relevance. I mean, I think about this because as football or fantasy football players or just football watchers, we're so focused on the now. We forget so many things that happened in the beginning. And I do think they are very fun to pay attention to. I had a good time going back through this and realize and like reflecting like, wow, like this was actually relevant in weeks 1 through 3 or whatever. Anyways, I appreciate you guys listening. I hope you guys had a merry, merry Christmas. I mean, get your good gifts. I mean, I can disclose a little bit of information. I got a Nintendo Switch for Christmas. I know, little Cody nerd, but hey, they're fun, and I cannot wait. This is a nerdy off-topic thing, but I cannot wait to play Super Smash Bros. On my Switch. I gotta go buy that game immediately because that is about to be a nostalgic like throwback. Oh, I'm so excited. Anyways, we gotta jump in this podcast. I do want to keep it shorter for you guys because I feel like I need to keep a concentrated amount of content for viewers, especially since I'm a definitely smaller podcast. Not many of you guys want to sit and listen to 30 minutes of me talking. So we're going to keep it short. We're going to keep it relevant. And then slowly but surely we can expand times. And if you want me to have longer times, just DM me on Instagram. Twitter, I should probably state this because I always do. Twitter at Olson Cody. Check me out. DM me. I will respond to anything. I feel like I'm very good at just being social with everyone that interacts with me. Anyways, let's get into this video. So looking back, I mean, I think the big one that we probably all remember, but I do want to point out some stats about how crazy this was. And this was Fitzmagic. So I think you guys can remember who he took down the first 2 weeks. And it was almost jaw-dropping. He defeated New Orleans. And if we were to look back now, thinking that Tampa Bay could take out New Orleans is amazing. That's a wild thing that you can't even describe right now. That it's shocking to me. If I didn't know about, or let's say let's say I didn't watch the first 2 weeks and someone told me Tampa Bay beat New Orleans, I would call them a liar immediately. But that's not all that he beat. He also beat Philly, the Super Bowl champions. I mean, I know they're starting with Nick Foles, and Nick Foles did not look good in the opener, but regardless, Fitzmagic beat Philly. That's insane. Now, I did go through it, and we looked at his yardage through the first 3 weeks. He did take that L against Pittsburgh, but he did kind of go off as far as yardage and touchdowns, but he did throw three picks, which is not good. But anyways, those three games, he threw for 1,230 yards, and he went 11 for 4, so 11 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. Expanded 16 games, that's 6,560 yards and 58 touchdowns, breaking both the passing yard record and the touchdown record. Imagine if Ryan Fitzpatrick was on top of that list. I would have zero explanation on how that happened. But regardless, we did see the fall off. Obviously, it didn't work out. And then another thing that we might have forgot about was just the birth of Patrick Mahomes. There was tons of questions in the offseason on whether he would live up to the hype. I feel like a lot of times we get very anxious about these highly touted guys that could be a bust in the NFL. But Patrick Mahomes showed up. Now, I will admit, I was one of the haters. I probably had many opportunities to draft Patrick Mahomes, but I didn't because I did not think he would pan out immediately. I thought he was going to be great, but I did not think he was going to be great the entire season. Well, he has been the definition of great the entire season. In the MVP race, definitely. But regardless, we had no idea who this guy really was, and he showed us. He showed us by beating the LA Chargers, which was projected to be a very good team, and then Pittsburgh immediately, which, yet again, they're Pittsburgh. I don't know how they're not in the playoff race right now. Well, they are in the playoff race, but I don't know how they're not in a playoff spot. Anyways, we'll get back to that. That'll be a next week video. All right, next one is the Rodgers comeback. Now, this should be up there for, well, I wouldn't say it should be up there for game of the year because I do think LA Rams and Kansas City has that game in the bag. But this was a crazy comeback. I don't know the last time I've seen this where a player goes off the field with an injury and then comes back to have such a dramatic effect on the game. Now, if you don't remember this game, this was week one. It was Bears-Packers at Lambeau, and Khalil Mack was going crazy in the first half. This was just happening after the big trade, and Rodgers comes off the field with some sort of knee injury. I forget what exactly it was. Anyways, Packer Nation was defeated. They were looking for a spanking if Rodgers didn't come back. Well, you know what happened? Rodgers came back and he led them to a victory. It was almost a definition of why Rodgers is probably the best quarterback in the NFL. Arguably, that's a bold statement. Is he just purely better than Tom Brady? No matter young Tom Brady, medium-aged Tom Brady. That's a different conversation. That could go for a while. Anyways, next one is Nathan Peterman. It's almost fun watching him, but I also feel so terrible. I mean, I'm sure he's a great guy, but how do you have that? How can he do that bad? I don't know if it's decision-making or if it's just plain bad luck. I mean, he keeps getting on teams, so obviously he has talent, but How does that happen to somebody? I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, he just throws interceptions like it's a first down pass. It should be like nothing for him, but he does it all the time. It's crazy. Anyways, we got to keep this going because I did say I want to keep this slow. I want to keep this fast. The James Conner versus Le'Veon Bell conversation. So that arrives when week one, James Conner went hard against the Cleveland Browns. And now the idea of, is Le'Veon really that good? Because if James Conner can come in here and produce better than Le'Veon Bell, maybe we shouldn't pay him that amount of money he's asking for. And that might have sparked the idea for the Pittsburgh Steelers where, okay, Conner is coming in here and lighting up and actually outperforming Bell. So why should we pay Bell all this money when, one, he's being disrespectful to the organization, and two, we have a guy that can just outperform him. Next guy I want to talk about is Austin Eckler. Now, this is an interesting case that I feel like I haven't seen in a while. And that would be the backup running back producing fantasy starting level points. He plays for the LA Chargers, and he plays behind Melvin Gordon. So the idea behind this is he was kind of like a change of pace back, but also he'd be kind of the third down back as well. So he'd come in there and he was averaging an insane amount per carry, an insane yards per catch, and he was actually startable for like almost weeks 1 through 3. He was putting up almost 20 points, and he was like, in week one, he was RB8 playing behind Melvin Gordon. I think that was very interesting, and he's been relevant the entire year without injuries. And I think this is very impressive, and you could see him on a different team, possibly starting one day. Another throwback we have to talk about is DeSean Jackson. Similar to Fitzmagic, when Fitzmagic was happening, DeSean was going hard. I remember having him on my team. I'm like, God, should I start him? But I could not. I could not start DeSean Jackson because of the fear of who DeSean Jackson really is. Not a good football player, don't get me wrong, but an older guy that cannot produce the numbers that he used to produce. I respect him, but he's boomer bust. I don't like fantasy football boomer bust guys, and I respect how good he was doing, but I couldn't start him even after the super, super, super big numbers. Weeks 1 and 2, 3 was okay, and then just the sporadic mess the rest of the season. Week one, we also realized Tyreek Hill is a god. Now, I do want to point this out that I do not like Tyreek Hill as far as a fantasy football player because he's just like DeSean Jackson, just younger and just in his prime because he's sporadic. I hate sporadic players. I need someone that can score me points every single week. Regardless, Tyreek Hill is a god. It's a match made in heaven for Mahomes and Hill. Mahomes just slings and Tyreek Hill just runs and catches. That's just what happens. And it's a match. They should be together for a long, long, long time. And they are going to make a mess of secondaries for a long, long, long time. Another relevant thing which crushed one of my team seasons was Devonta Freeman went down. And yeah, that hurt a bunch. I was going into the season thinking Atlanta was going to be one of the higher scoring offenses, so therefore, draft Devonta Freeman because he's going to score. Well, he went down immediately, and he didn't even look good. I mean, that was against a tough Philadelphia run front, but he just didn't look like himself. And I am concerned he's getting a little up there, I wouldn't say up there in age, but he's getting older. Obviously, everyone gets older, and it doesn't look great for him in the future. Regardless, he let down a lot of fantasy football seasons. The next one, this was week 3, not immediately, and that was Jimmy G goes down, and yet again, that crushed a lot of seasons. I feel like a lot of people were higher on Jimmy Garoppolo than they were on Patrick Mahomes. I mean, I don't know if it's the pretty face and how, I don't know, suave he is or whatever that means. A lot of people drafted Jimmy G pretty high, and you know he was their starting quarterback. And after that, a lot of teams went in a panic. They made trades for any quarterback they could get, but they lost some valuable assets trading for a quarterback. Anyways, it really hurt NFL or fantasy football teams. we go a couple weeks down to like week four, week five, and then we're getting the emergence of Drew Brees. We're realizing how good Drew Brees is, and I feel a little bad. I don't think I've appreciated Drew Brees as much as I should have in years past. Now, no, he did beat my Vikings in 2009, but that is 2009, and just now, like 2017, 2018, I'm realizing how good this guy really is. He is Hall of Fame guy, regardless, and I would love to see him win an MVP, but unfortunately, after these bad couple weeks, I do not think he is. We also saw the emergence of Mitchell Trubisky. Now, Mitchell Trubisky is the quarterback for the Chicago Bears, who had a pretty bad season last year. Well, he popped up this season, and it looks pretty nice. I'm impressed. He is a mobile quarterback that has hard intentions to run, but we also saw that he does have passing upside, and he's a smart player. He does great in the Matt Nagy offense, and this is where we really saw the emergence of Mitchell Trubisky. And we also saw the emergence of Jared Goff. Now, I know he had a pretty good season last year, but this is when Goff was like a top five quarterback. So, specifically on my notes, I have Goff question mark because we have seen the fall off of Jared Goff. And there's a big conversation of, is Jared Goff a, system quarterback? And if you've watched my videos before, I agree, absolutely. I think Jared Goff is a system quarterback. Don't tell him, don't tell the LA Rams fanboys out there because they attack me on Twitter. Anyways, that's a side thing. We'll jump to a running back, and that'd be Aaron Jones. He didn't pop off immediately, but this was a good start for the Green Bay Packers. You had Aaron Rodgers always touting him up, saying, hey, we need to get this guy the ball more because he's an athlete. And that's true. Look at his numbers when he was healthy and in the main role of Green Bay. He went in. He was a great running back for a while until he got hurt. Another thing we need to talk about is the Adam Thielen streak. He kept hitting 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards, 100 yards. I think he did it for 8 or 9 times. I think he tied Calvin Johnson for 8 times in a row. And that's ridiculous. I think a while down, we're going to appreciate how amazing that is. Think that's like consistent, like to the max. That's almost like annoyingly consistent. Now, I think Adam is a great guy, and I appreciate everything he's done for the Minnesota Vikings organization, and he has a bright, 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 bright future. Speaking of bright futures, we got Cooper Kupp. Cooper Kupp is a young guy that no one really expected. He was kind of good in PPR last year, considering he got red zone looks, and he's reliable with the ball. But this year, we really saw how prominent he is in the LA Rams offense. I think he's very cool. Now, I can't help but not really like him because I'm against the LA Rams, but I do think he's a talented guy, and we're going to see a lot more of him in the future, and that injury really, really, really hurt Delly Rams, so we know how important Kupp is. And then there was the development of some surprising guys, specifically tight ends, and that would be Jared Cook, George Kittle, and Eric Ebron. Now, a lot of these guys, these three guys were almost, it was hard to draft them considering what they've done in the past. George Kittle, we saw almost nothing last year. Eric Ebron was a bust in Detroit, and Jared Cook is just Jared Cook. He'll have one good game, and then he's off the planet. Well, all of these guys have proven that they are consistent, and they can be real threats in the tight end world. Now, I know a lot of people said that the tight end fantasy football section group, I guess, is very bare, and it is, but I will say that we have the emergence of three new guys that you can say could be high draft picks next year. I mean, I would be fine spending a quite high draft pick on one of these guys because of what they did this year. They almost like performed at like a wide receiver 2 level, and that's very valuable to have a good starting tight end in fantasy football. Little plan for my next season. I do think I'm going to take a higher end, wide receiver, tight end. I don't like having just a bad tight end sitting there. I had Trey Burton, and that was like pulling my hair out. That sucked. I didn't like that. Anyways, further on for the season, we say hello to rookie RBs. I know we had Saquon Barkley, but there's three specifically that emerged at this point. This is around week 7. That would be Kerryon Johnson, Philip Lindsay, and Nick Chubb. These guys are talented, and from the looks at it, 2018 had a great rookie draft class for running backs. I mean, Saquon Barkley, Kerryon Johnson, Philip Lindsay, Nick Chubb. There's a couple more I could list off, and it's impressive. I think there's a lot of upside for these guys going on, and these specific guys, I know they're not the only ones in their backfield right now, but they will be franchise running backs further down the line. I can guarantee that for every one of them. And then a next one would be, keep in mind this is around week 7-ish. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald did something. He did something for 1 week, 2 weeks, maybe 3 weeks, maybe 4 weeks. Yeah, he did something. And he was a high draft pick. He was a pretty big bust as in the fantasy world this year. It was painful considering, like, you took him over guys like T.Y. Hilton. That really crushed some players down the stretch considering how hot T.Y. Hilton is right now. It sucks missing on a draft pick, but from what you saw last year, I mean, it must have been the Bruce Arians and Carson Palmer connection, but it sucks spending so much on a guy just to see him fail. A lot of people bought in that he was coming back once he started scoring in week 7, but I didn't. I traded him for Cam Newton, and I'm pretty happy with that trade. Anyways, we will jump to week 10, and week 10 is the emergence of L. Jax. For my knowledge, all the first round rookie quarterbacks were pushed into the starting position at this point. Besides L. Jax, who is a interesting person, well, not a person, player, because he is run first. He is a running quarterback. I don't want to argue that he's a mobile quarterback. He is a running quarterback. So it's almost just like a second, third running back on their roster. Anyways, he performed. He did well, and he actually held the starting job over Joe Flacco, and they're on a really good streak right now. I think L. Jax is a interesting guy in the NFL. I don't know what his future will look like considering he runs majority of the time and he could get hurt, but we will see. I will just say he is a very talented guy. Next, we have Le'Veon is done. Now, this is week 10, and at this point, we found out that Le'Veon would not sign the franchise tag. He would not do it, and therefore, Le'Veon is no longer with the team. So, he wasn't going to play this year, and this could possibly be the biggest first-round bust we have ever had, considering he didn't get hurt. He just chose not to play. I know I have kind of like a salty attitude towards Le'Veon, considering in one of my leagues, I took him first overall because I trust Le'Veon, but this was truly bad. I think he did the right thing for himself, but as far as fantasy owners, it hurt a lot of people. And I mean, good for him for doing what's best for him, but regardless, fantasy football relevancy killed so many teams. I can guarantee majority of teams that drafted Le'Veon in the first round did not make the playoffs. And then our last one for this week 10 era. It'd be Amari Cooper. We're getting pretty long here. I messed up. I said I wanted to be short, but it got long. Next week we'll work on it. I promise, pinky swear. Anyways, we got Amari Cooper. Amari Cooper was almost looking like a bust out in Oakland. He had a good, if not great, first 2 years. I think he made 2 Pro Bowls in his first 2 years. Anyways, he was fading 2017, and he faded this year as well in Oakland. And wow, it did not look good for him there. And I kept telling you guys, trade him to a different team. Unless he gets traded to a different team. Because it'd be interesting to see how they use him. Because I know Amari Cooper is a talented player. They traded him, and look what has happened in Dallas. My specific example would be that Philadelphia game. He went hard. He is a very, very, very talented wide receiver. And he should be a higher draft pick next year. He should be Dez Bryant, if not higher, in my opinion. Then we're going to go to week 13, and then we're going to wrap it up there because I do think, I mean, you want me to wait, make a week 16 video that happened last week? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Anyways, week 13, Josh Allen. Josh Allen figured out, hey, I'm not great at throwing the ball right now, but I can run. He runs like crazy, almost to the Lamar Jackson level. I mean, it's impressive the way he runs. He runs hard as well. So I respect guys like that, and I do think they will develop their arm eventually. There's a lot of people that say, oh, they just run because they can't throw. Well, they must be throwing because, one, Lamar Jackson won a Heisman, and he threw pretty well, and Josh Allen was hyped up because of his arm, not his rushing in college. Anyways, we got goodbye, Kareem. So long. Who cares? He beat a woman, and he's a terrible person, and should not be reinstated in the league, even though it isn't. It is an interesting case to take. And then we will say, as far as the most confusing fantasy football conversation, we will say hello, Jalen Samuels. Now, for the Yahoo League users, this was insane. There was this whole debate on whether Jalen Samuels was a tight end or running back. In Yahoo, he was listed as both. So you could play Jalen Samuels in your tight end position, but he strictly plays running back. Now, I don't know the specific argument about this on why he was listed as a tight end. I don't know if he went into the draft as a tight end or not. I don't remember. Regardless, it was a big, big issue because we even had league owners that were threatening to kick people out of the league if they played Jalen Samuels in the tight end position. I think you could have, because if they say he's a tight end, play him as a tight end. That's my idea. We've never seen a case like that. You cannot make a case for like the multi-position players because they are actually multi-position. Jalen Samuels did not take a single snap in the tight position. It was interesting, but anyways, I do think that was maybe like the funnest, because it didn't affect me, the funnest like fantasy like I don't know, rules break that we had all season. If not the history of what I've seen in fantasy football. Anyways, that is going to wrap it up. I hope you guys like the new look, or the new feel at least, where I just free script and I talk. I know I talk for too long. I really want this to be a short video. And we are at the 30-minute mark as we stand right now. So I apologize with that. And I'm going to work on it. I mean, as you guys know, I can talk for a long, long time on football. I love football. I love just talking in general. That's why I want my career to end up being something where I speak to a body of people. Anyways, regardless, I enjoy that you guys listen to this. I do want to give a shout out to my cousin who made that beat in the intro. His producer name is Gunlock. So it's Gunlock. He makes great beats. If you are making a podcast out there, you should go check him out. I love this intro. I know it doesn't directly fit me, but I love that beat. Regardless, I love that beat. So check him out. SoundCloud Track Train is where you can buy his beats. And I'm pretty sure what he told me yesterday, because yesterday was Christmas and I saw him, his beats are only going to be out until January 1st. And then he's going to take them all off, and then he's going to do a little bit more professional stuff. So if you need intro beats, get them now. Track Train at Gunlock, G-U-N-L-O-C-K. Check him out. Thank you for listening. This has been BNG, Ballin' and Gaming, with your boy, Cody Olson. And I thank you so much for listening. Check us out next week. Peace.